This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Last week's news that Cumberland Council voted 12-2 to reverse the ban on books featuring same-sex parents was welcome. But why did it happen in the first place, and can it happen again? Ghassan Kassassi is Legal Director at Equality Australia. Ghassan, welcome back to Drive.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
How did the ban come about in the first place?
Well, it sort of came about sort of at the last minute as an amendment to the library strategy, and a councillor on the council just proposed an amendment. He said, based on complaints he'd received about books that featured same-sex families being part of what he called the toddler section of the library. Mm-hmm. But actually, the book was supposed to be effectively in the children's section because it was a children's book. It was recommended for 6 years and over. It went back to council the following meeting, and that's when it was overturned.
So was it actually in the toddler section? Was it just a case of a misplaced book, someone put in the wrong spot?
Look, to the best that we can ascertain, that seems to be what happened. It was just misplaced, and it could have been fixed, but instead the councillor, you know, took us down this terrible sort of culture wars debate, which really divided the community. But thankfully, you know, with over 50,000 people signing on one of two petitions, the council listened to the community and overturned the ban 12-2.
Can a council ban books in the first place? So who determines, I suppose, which books are permitted and which ones aren't?
Yeah, look, it's actually a very difficult question depending on which state or territory that you're in. Some states and territories have stronger protections around discrimination than New South Wales does. But even in New South Wales, there was a question about the legality, both under various laws that deal with local government and libraries, but also under anti-discrimination law. But we had the minister responsible for libraries actually come out and say, we've got a funding agreement and you're not complying with the funding agreement. So unless you reverse the ban, you know, the $700,000 that we fund your libraries with is under threat.
And the other thing is too, I don't imagine many toddlers would be able to read a book anyway.
Oh, look, precisely. The councillor hadn't even read the book, which he admitted on radio the next day. So it was a bit shameless, you know, to put it that way, and very cynical, I think, in the way it was raised.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand that there was a series of books and that also deal with issues like separated parents. Were the ban proponents, were they also concerned about that content, or was it just the same-sex parents?
It was just the same-sex book, and you're right, the book itself was from a series that deal with different families, but also things like bullying, how to talk, you know, to explain to young children in particular the differences in families, and ironically with this book, how to deal with basically rude people who might, you know, have certain views about their families that are unkind.
We're chatting with Ghassan Kassassi, Legal Director at Equality Australia, about last week's news that Cumberland Council voted 12-2 to reverse the ban on books featuring same-sex parents. Ghassan, do you think we're starting to see, I suppose, some of the anti-LGBTIQ movement in the US spilling over a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a good lesson for us as a community to not take the foot off the accelerator. Mm. But what we saw was a local grandma to a rainbow family stood up and came to us and said, can we host the petition? We did, and what we saw was thousands of people say, actually, this is not who we are. This is not the American-style culture wars that we want to go down. And that was heard loud and clear, including over 2,500 people from this particular area of Sydney, which the council was suggesting was, you know, conservative and religious. Mm. But as we said, people can make up their own minds about what books they borrow from their local library, and all families should be represented in our local libraries.
What are your thoughts on whether we're likely to see other councils propose book bans?
We've seen a few councils deal with issues of drag story time. We've also seen some councils deal with issues around toilets. This sort of stuff is just, I think, when we look at it, it absolutely affects our community in a very harmful way. But for the broader community, it tells them that the council's not really focused on issues that really matter to them in their day-to-day. So whether it's actually successful, I think it only really attracts a small number of people, in terms of voting. But these councillors generally have that very small minority that they're seeking to appease in bringing these motions. So it's really important to see, broadly, 12 of those councillors say, actually, we made the wrong decision. And the original ban was only 6-5, so it was just borderline, not having passed at all.
I imagine no one's done this, but I would love to see a calculation of how much, time, etc., this cost the council, and then, what needs to be chopped from their budget as a result of the effort spent on such an issue.
Oh, and just the cost of security that they had for the council meeting, which I attended, and, it's quite a confronting feeling to have a police escort take you back to your car after a local council meeting because a fear of what might happen if, you whip up people into this sort of hate and the consequences are borne by people in the community.
What was the council meeting like, Ghassan?
It was, so we were in the public gallery and you had the proponents of the ban on one side and the opponents of the ban on the other. Most of the speakers were from the local community speaking about the impact of it, particularly on LGBTI families. But there was heckling. Councillors were being heckled by opponents of the ban. People were banging on the windows at one point. So it was quite an intimidating environment to be in. But I think also, it was sort of the best of our democratic system coming to say, you can't intimidate us. We can make our own decision here. There was a line of religious leaders that walked in and all of this sort of fanfare. And at the end of the day, people just got back to common sense. Let's put the book back where it should have been. And move on.
Simple. And like you said, it would have been solved in the first place. When I watched some of the news footage, I saw someone shout at the end saying, we're all going to take out library cards. And I thought, well, good. Then they'll start reading. Hopefully they'll broaden their mindset. And it might help. I think it's a great idea.
Yes. But I think it was followed with something about bringing wood to burn down the libraries.
Oh, so, we don't want that.
This is the thing. You appease a very small number, but actually the vast majority of people are very much, look, this is not a debate we need to have. And if you don't want to read the book, you don't have to.
At Equality Australia, are you hearing or seeing an increase in hostility towards the rainbow community, or is this pretty much a more of an isolated incident?
I think, yes, we are, and I would say in particularly towards trans and gender diverse people is what we're seeing. But having said that, whenever it's been brought out politically, so for example, if you remember the federal election, we had a candidate in Sydney who was particularly focused on trans issues, was not successful politically, because regardless of where people's views are on these issues, they're not resonating for the majority of people that are concerned with other things. And for our community, we know that our community really don't take well to candidates that don't support them. So, it is an important vote delineator for LGBTI people. When we did our survey before the federal election, LGBTI issues are really important to our community and they're part of the way that we decide who to vote for.
Definitely. Ghassan, great to chat with you. Thanks again for joining us on Drive today.
Great to be with you.
Ghassan Kassasi is the legal director at Equality Australia.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.